Lord, you've given us your word. Your word is truth. Pray that you would open our hearts to it today so that we might grow and advance in our knowledge and in our relationship with you and experience you in our daily walk. Or in your name we ask this help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we have this great and awesome privilege before us to come to the table of communion and to spend some time with the Lord here, to be part of something that causes us to grow closer to Him and strengthens us and helps us to live our lives for Him the way He desires. And that's always the most important thing. Not the way we desire, the way we want, but the way He desires. And I trust that you have taken some time and prepared your heart, see the seriousness and also the joy that this time brings to us. The tremendous work of the cross is active. The tremendous work of the cross is alive for us today because of the resurrection. We've all been called by Jesus to remember. And he calls us to remember, but not regret. To remember, but not wallow in the past. To remember so that we can grow and move forward in our lives and in our church, setting goals that we can accomplish for the Lord, for His kingdom, goals that we can work on together to see His kingdom built and He lifted up as we seek to reach those that are around us. Communion is the pause in life to cause us to remember. It's always nice to hit the pause button. This is a pause button for us. With all that's going on in our world, war, not just rumors of war, but there are those, but also the conflict that we see happening in Ukraine and the things that are going on. We need to pause, and we need to come apart so that we can get renewed, so that we can be refreshed, so that we can get prepared in our lives. We need to be prepared because these things could be setting in motion things that we've only thought about, heard about, read about. We don't know the impacts that this could have on even our society here. So we need preparation. We need to be prepared. This isn't like Y2K where nobody knew and everybody prepared and got to buy a lot of toys, you know, and just in case kind of a thing. These are things that are real, that are happening now in our world, that should cause us to be preparing our lives for not just survival, but to help others, to reach out to others, to be a part of helping them to find their way to the Lord. And it's amazing when things get tough how people's minds all of a sudden turn and soften to spiritual things. We need to be eager. We need to be ready to share with them, hey, we have hope. We have a way. We have someone to introduce you to that can change you and help you. It's a time to refresh our spiritual outlook. It's a time for us to be examined, to make sure that there's nothing in our hearts or in our life that can be hindering us from full fellowship with the Lord, full and complete fellowship, getting bold enough and brave enough to say, Lord, anything that you see that you don't like, put your finger on, and I will deal with it with your strength and power. A lot of times we're willing to do that for just about everything except. But we need to be willing to do it for everything irregardless. And so we don't want anything to be hindering our fellowship with Him, especially now. It shouldn't take crises to get us to that point. We should be at that point all the time. But it's always a crisis that reminds us, get focused here. Let's get where we should be. You know, we have that privilege this morning to pause, to hit the pause button for a minute, and to reflect. We do so at the Lord's command, to draw close to Him, to remember, to reflect on those things, to cause us to realize the reason we have hope, the reason we have strength, the reason we have the ability to stand firm even in perilous times is because He did. And He went before us. And He gives us that ability, and He gives us His Spirit along with His Word to understand it. So there's a special closeness that we sense at the time of communion. There should be a special closeness that you sense with the Lord. And you realize as you look at just these basic elements that have been prepared, you say, this reminds me, this helps me to reflect on what you did for me. But it also is a way of bringing a closeness to church family. We are family as a church. We are part of the family of God. We're a smaller part of that family, and it should bring us closer together. We should have a deeper fellowship. We should have a deeper relationship. We should have a deeper care for one another. But it's very important to prepare our hearts. So crucial and so important that Paul warned us explicitly about eating and drinking in an unworthy manner without discerning the Lord before we take communion. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is really the first account of the Lord's Supper given because this was written before the Gospels. And Paul gives us that clear outline of what we are supposed to do and be doing. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse number 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore," and that's a key linking word, therefore, links us to what he just said, to what he's about to say, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord." We don't want that. We don't want to be found guilty. So, a man, generic term, man, woman, young person, should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. And so, Paul is encouraging us and reminding us of the importance of examining ourselves. We have made mention of this many times when we take communion to make sure that we're not doing it in an unworthy manner. Sin in the life keeps us from fellowship with God. It hinders us from walking with Him daily. It separates us from other believers. It's serious stuff that we need to be considering. So the examination part is key, very critical, to make sure that we have a conscience that is pure and open before the Lord. Communion is a time when we remember, when we reflect, and it's a time to examine our hearts. We have, in the Sermon on the Mount, I think, an awesome guide to help us search our hearts and to examine ourselves. And we're going to use that portion of Scripture this morning if you turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Because you see, questions are a good way to help us examine ourselves and to see if everything is well. And so we can develop questions from the Beatitudes that will get to the core of any issue that we may face in our lives. And this message is going to be a little bit different because there's going to be a lot of questions and there's not going to be any answers because you have to answer for yourself. I have to answer for myself. And so I want to look at some of these questions that help us examine ourselves to make sure that when we take communion, everything is right on target. So let's look at some of these as we examine and prepare our hearts to receive what the Lord has for us today. There will be a quiet time when we can say, "Lord, you know, I've gone through these questions, and before we take these elements, this is what I need to tell you and say to you and repent of if there's anything there." So listen carefully and prayerfully as we go through some questions and ask the Lord to search your heart as you seek to reflect on and answer in your heart what's going on in your life. Ask the Lord to point out any area that you may need to give attention to so that you can deal with those things and are able to take communion with a clear heart and a refreshed heart. And so if you look at the Beatitudes, verse 3 says, the poor in spirit are blessed. So we have to ask ourselves the obvious question, am I truly poor in spirit? Truly. Do I have the outlook and the attitude of a beggar? I like the saints of old that used to preach and write books because they weren't afraid to use words that would kind of, well, beggar, ooh, that sounds really, ooh, beggar? Yeah, we're beggars. And they use those terms. We need to use those terms. We are beggars. And so do I have the attitude of a beggar because I realize that without him, I am nothing. And I have nothing. Have I given my all to Jesus, seen my need, and made sure that I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior? Am I developing the attitude and character of humility or pride? Am I learning to be grateful, or do I still complain a lot? In verse 4, he says, those who mourn are blessed. Do I truly mourn over my sin? Do I truly mourn when I mess it all up over my iniquities that have separated me from fellowship with God? Not in a morbid dwelling on my past, but an honest evaluation. Do I mourn because of that? Do I mourn for my fellow Christians? Do I mourn for family members who aren't giving their all to Jesus? Do I mourn for my nation who needs to be brought to repentance and revival? You know, have I truly repented of sin and iniquity and attitudes, reactions that I have toward people or God? Do I let break my heart what breaks God's heart? What breaks God's heart? The lost. Does the lost, when you think of them, break your heart? You know, and look, reading last couple weeks ago, reading through some things, and my wife and I were talking about the end times and some of the things that are going in the chronological order and stuff. When I get by myself, I think about my neighbors. I have great neighbors, wonderful neighbors. Well, they need to know the Lord. They need to know him. But are we afraid of offending them so we say nothing? They know where we stand. But what about bringing them to the point where they say, maybe I need to think about this? The hurting break God's heart. And the needy and the injustices that are being done in society break his heart. Does it bother us? Another question is, am I developing the character of reverence for God and what he's doing in my life? Where is my first love? Where's my first love? Am I responsible? Am I being responsible for all my thoughts? Because we are going to be held accountable for our thoughts. We have to control them. Am I responsible for all my words and my actions and my attitudes? My responsibility to my church, my worship, my attendance, my serving in the church, my giving to the church? Am I responsible in those areas? Verse 5, the gentle are blessed. Am I truly gentle, meek? That's not weakness, as we've seen before when we've looked at that verse. Is my strength under God's control? Have I yielded my personal rights to God? Well, you know, I got a right to this, do we? Or should those rights be yielded to him? Or do I keep certain areas that I want to have control over and I don't really want to let go of that? Maybe it's just that one. Maybe it's more than one. Am I really obedient to the Lord and his word? Or do I know the right talk to get around true obedience? Am I abiding in him? As he says in John 15, abide in me. So is the fruit of the Spirit then seen in my life? Am I content with what God has given me? Am I flexible? Or have I become too rigid and not able to change my plans, my agenda, to fit or to help others as God leads? Am I so set in a rut, which is a grave with the ends knocked out, that I'm not able to be flexible? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. Verse 6. Do I truly hunger and thirst for righteousness? Or am I content to fill my time with what I want, with what I like, with what I desire? Do I long for the character of God and the ways of the Christian life? Or do I usually end up living my own way most of the time? Am I diligent in spending time and energy studying the Scriptures in order to understand truth? Or does screen time occupy my time? Am I punctual, honoring others by my not wasting their time, by my not being on time? We have to ask ourselves. The merciful are blessed. Am I truly a merciful person? Is my attitude and character in harmony with God's? Am I sensitive to others, being aware of their hopes, being aware of their hurts? Do I have compassion, or am I quick to judge someone else by my standards? Is kindness a character quality that I'm developing in my life? Jesus goes on, he says, the pure in heart are blessed. Am I pure in heart? Am I free from the contamination of the world? Am I free from those things that would distract and choke out the things of God in my life, no matter how good they might be? Because the good, remember, becomes the enemy of the best if it gets in the way. Do I have a single focus, or am I double-minded? Jesus goes on, he says, the peacemakers are blessed. Well, am I a peacemaker? Or am I known for stirring up problems and trouble? Do I seek to bring peace, or do I like to argue? Am I at peace with God? Do I rest daily in Him? Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, Jesus said. Am I persecuted for righteousness? Because I stand up for the cause. You may not be in jail. You may not be beaten in the streets like some are. Who knows if that might not happen here? It's a very good possibility. But does the life of Christ show from my life so much so that people notice? Not notice me, but notice Christ in me. Do I identify with Christ? Do I take a stand even when it's unpopular? Do I take a stand even if no one else will? Do I walk away from the unclean jokes and conversations and stories? Or do I just kind of compromise and listen and smile? You see, these are the types of questions that force us to look inside. And not in a morbid introspection, but in honest examining of myself, as I'm told to do in Scripture. Because that's what we read, didn't we? In 1 Corinthians 11, examine yourself. This frees my conscience and life to partake of these elements and in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for me and for you. What a joy and what a comfort to our soul it is to be able to gather around the Lord's table, to be able to let His Word soak in to our hearts, to our minds, so that it becomes a part of us, so that it becomes lived out as we go through our daily life, drawing us to Him in a new and in a fresh way. And so this morning, think about these questions. Think about these things. Because in just a few moments, we're going to have just a quiet time. Music's going to play, and you just reflect on these things and say, Lord, as I was listening to these questions, maybe something came up, and I just want you to deal with it right now. Make me ready. Make me fit. Make me so that when I take these elements, I'm not eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. And so this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to sit and think. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Then we're going to serve you in your seats as you are there ready to receive communion. A great time of comfort to us, a great time of joy for us, a great time of expectancy for us. But we want to do it with our hearts prepared and our hearts right. That's what he has in mind. That's what he's told us to do. So that we can take these things, and what we do is like, let's pause. Remembering his love. Remembering what he did. Remembering what he went through. Remembering what he endured. The holy, perfect, pure Son of God taking the filth and the garbage and the sin of my life and the lives of everyone that's ever lived so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have a new relationship. Man, that brings a new refreshment to our hearts and to our lives, and we should let it do that this morning. And every time we take communion, and every day. You don't have to take communion every day to have that happen. You just reflect on who he is and take that pause before you dive into your day. So let's bow our hearts before the Lord. We consecrate these elements, and then I have a few moments here of just sitting and thinking and meditating and communing with the Lord, and then we will partake together. Father, we thank you for the greatness of your word. The things you want us to know are all here. What you want us to do is here. How you want us to live is here. And then you add in the strength of the Spirit of God to help us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and be clean and clear and pure in our hearts, that we can know that you have made us that way. We can't do it by ourselves. None of us could come to communion this morning if it wasn't for you. And so I pray that you would help us and that you would make known to us that greatness of your presence. I ask that you would take these elements and consecrate them for this use this morning. May they be used to bring honor and glory to you. And for this, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.